Welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. The Wellness Enclave will explore emotional health and its impact on everyday life. In the Enclave, we will address how emotional health is connected to other parts of your life, such as physical health, relationships, spirituality, and even decision making. Our goal in the Wellness Enclave is to help you become a healthier, happier you through motivation, education, and innovation. And now, the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today, we're going to talk about self-care. Self-care is very important because we have to be present not only for ourselves, but for those that we love. And we want to present our best selves to the people who are around us. So today we're going to get into four very important components, not the only components, but very important components of self-care. Those will be sleep hygiene or sleep habits, eating habits, exercise, and getting in contact or getting in touch with your spiritual self, not religion, getting in contact with your spiritual self. So right after this song that we hope is going to lift you up this morning on your morning drive to work, we will get right into how do I take care of myself to be a better me for myself, but also the ones that I love.
Sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. I just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Love it. Welcome back, everyone, to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell. Today, we're going to talk about self-care and four very important components to taking care of self. The first one is sleep habits. You may ask yourself, why is that important? Guess what? For most of us, when we don't get a lot of sleep, we become very grouchy. Sometimes we have an inability to concentrate, which in turn, which lends itself to problems with productivity at work as well as in the home. Also, when we are, when we do have a little bit of an attitude because we don't have enough sleep, we're not present for our children if we have children, if we're caregivers for our parents, we're not present for them. And also, it just kind of throws us off a little bit. So, today I was reading some information on from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. So I'm going to give you some sleep hygiene habits or some good sleep hygiene habits that we should look at practicing on a nightly or daily basis. One of the things you want to do is keep a consistent sleep schedule. So what that means is even on the days or the nights where I don't have to go to work the next day, I still should get in the bed at the same time. So in essence, that means going to bed every night at the same time and waking up at the same time every day. Of course, this schedule may vary every now and again, but the reason for this is because if I go to sleep every evening, every work evening at approximately, let's say 9 p.m., for example, and then on the weekends I decide to stay up to like 1 or 2, when it's time for me to go back to sleep, or get back on my sleep schedule for work on Sunday night, then it becomes very difficult for me to return to sleep. So basically what happens is I throw my sleep schedule off. And then I'm trying to play catch up for the rest of the week. And we all know as we get older that catch up a lot of times doesn't really work. So again, keep a consistent sleep schedule. Set a bedtime that is early enough for you to get at least 7 hours of sleep per night. The standard normally is 8 hours. What I like to tell individuals is whatever is comfortable for you. For instance, for me, 6 hours is fine, but what you want to do is set a sleep standard. So you need to figure out what is enough sleep for you. Okay, once you find that out, then set your sleep schedule up for that, to get those amount of hours, to get those amount of hours of sleep per night. Don't go to bed unless you're sleeping. If you don't fall asleep after 20 minutes, get out of bed and walk around. This is something that a lot of people don't know. A lot of times when we have difficulties falling asleep, one of the things that we'll do is just remain in bed. We keep looking at the clock, keep looking at our phone. Sometimes we feel like, hey, you know what? I can't go to sleep, so let me be productive. A lot of us are very OCD and we're big on time management, so let me be productive and get on my computer and do some things. That is really not what is recommended by any of the sources. Basically, what's recommended is if you can't go to sleep after 20 minutes, get up out of bed, go to another room that's dark, sit on a couch or something of that nature. Once you begin to become sleepy, then get up and go back to bed. One of the primary reasons for that is because if we remain in bed when we're unable to sleep, what happens is we begin to associate our bedroom or the bed with being unable to fall asleep. Also, in addition to that, which is going to fall into one of the next habits or sleep hygiene habits, is good sleep hygiene habits, is do not turn off all of your electronics prior to going to bed. About 30 minutes prior to going to bed, turn the electronics off. And again, it's two reasons for this. And this is going to go back to why you should not get up when you can't go to sleep and become more productive. Basically, what happens is you're increasing your thought pattern and your thought processes. So you're just thinking about everything. You're basically energizing yourself. When you have those computers on and you're sitting up doing work, what you're doing is increasing your energy, your brain activity, and that's going to make it more difficult to go to sleep. So do not get up. If you can't go to sleep, do not get up and start playing on the computer or doing work, because you're doing nothing but increasing brain activity, increasing energy. That's going to make it more difficult to go to sleep. Also, cut the electronics off about 30 minutes prior to going to bed, because again, it increases activity. And so if you cut the electronics off right before you go to bed or anything that's increasing brain activity, what it does is it makes it more difficult for you to fall asleep. So it's recommended that you actually power down about 30 or 45 minutes prior to going to bed. So that means do not watch the news. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you sit on politically. The news can be very stressful. Turn that off. What that means is do not get on Facebook, because even though that may be good news on Facebook, it still is something that is increasing your brain activity and causing it to be overexcited. It's going to make it very difficult, again, for you to fall asleep. Do not go to sleep with your electronics on. A lot of people like to go to sleep with the television on. Do not do that. If you've ever fallen asleep with the television on, one of the things that you may notice is when a program changes or goes to a commercial, sometimes the volume becomes louder. So what happens is your brain activity is picking up on that. Once your brain activity picks up on that, then it's going to awaken you a little bit. So technically, you're never really sleep when you have the electronics on. Also, what you'll notice a lot of times is you may see a flash of light from the television or from the computer if it changes programming. Your brain is picking up on those signals. So you're never really in a deep sleep. So do not fall asleep with electronics on. Don't eat a large meal before bedtime. There are several reasons for that. One is if you eat a large meal prior to bedtime, number one, that can cause a lot of uncomfortability, whether it's just your stomach is feeling heavy or whether you may end up, if you have acid reflux, that can be a problem, or just may end up with just common heartburn. So it can be very uncomfortable. So do not eat a heavy meal or a large meal before you go to bed. Also, which we'll get into on our next segment, in our next segment, is eating a heavy meal before bedtime can also cause you to gain an extreme amount of weight. So that's something that you don't want to do. Do not drink alcohol prior to going to bed. A lot of people consume alcohol prior to going to bed because they say, hey, let me get a quick drink, let me get a nightcap, that will help me fall asleep. Well, because alcohol is a depressant, in actuality, it does help you fall asleep. Here's the problem. At some point, it is going to interrupt your sleep, because while you're asleep, your body is processing the alcohol that you drank. When your body processes the alcohol, one of two things will happen, if not both. One will be that more than likely you'll get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, which is going to interrupt your sleep pattern. And or the alcohol will start coming out in your system. So what that means is when your body is processing alcohol, even if it's just one drink, when your body starts processing the alcohol, it starts coming out of your pores. And what it does is it changes your body temperature. So again, that's going to make you uncomfortable. When your body temperature changes, if it goes from feeling comfortable to feeling a little warm, then that's going to cause some problems. Exercise regularly and maintain a healthy diet. So what's recommended is that you exercise at least 20 to 30 minutes a day aerobically. Do not exercise too close to bedtime, because as you know, exercising increases your endorphins. When it increases your endorphins, we're increasing brain activity, and again, it will make it more difficult for you to fall asleep. So try to exercise at least a good exercise about 30 minutes per day. Don't do that within 2 hours of bedtime. Do not do that within 2 hours of bedtime, because that may be when it's too much activity, your brain has too much activity, endorphins are increasing, it'll make it difficult for you to fall asleep. Of course, reduce your fluid intake before bedtime. That is very important, because again, you can become disturbed, your sleep pattern can become disturbed, because you may get up and go to the restroom quite frequently throughout the night. The other piece is this: the bedroom should not be used for work. The bedroom should only be used for sleep and sex. So it is recommended that there's no television in your bedroom, no computer in your bedroom. You just want your bed there. You want it to be a relaxing environment. You want the temperature to be cool. Make sure your bedroom is a relaxing place, but also make sure you're utilizing it for two activities only. And again, that's sleep and sex. Caffeine. A lot of us like to drink quite a bit of caffeine throughout the day. It is recommended that a person should not drink caffeine 6 to 8 hours prior to bedtime, because again, it causes a lot of it causes you to have a lot of increased energy. That increased energy would not be good for you if you're trying to fall asleep. So, I hope this has helped someone. When we come back from break, we're going to delve into the other three components. And you've been listening to Dr. Donna Sewell on the Wellness Enclave.
Forget to renew your driver's license, or did you get a ticket that you forgot about? Download the new DDS2Go mobile app to manage your driver's license from your cell phone. The Georgia Department of Driver Services will send alerts directly to you, so no more forgotten renewals or surprise citations. Renew, replace, or change your driver's license address from your phone. DDS2Go on the mobile app store. It's like having a licensing center in your pocket.
Hi there, healthy people. Do you have a healthy product or service? If you are a certified medical professional, fitness trainer, author, or chef, Old Fashioned Health would love to promote your services or product on the Old Fashioned Health Radio Show. Please reach out to us. Call 404-793-3960 or email us at oldfashionedhealth@gmail.com. You can also contact us at oldfashionedhealth.com. Old Fashioned Health, good health inside and out.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. New life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Welcome back to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today we're talking about self-care. Prior to break, we were talking about how important sleep habits or good sleep habits are and how well they attribute, how much they attribute to self-care. For this last segment, we're going to talk about eating habits, exercise, and where our energy comes from, our spiritual self. So eating habits are very important to self-care. A lot of times when we get stressed out, we're not sleeping appropriately, or we're depressed, any of those things, or we're just really busy. We eat what is quick. We don't have time to cook. We want to stop by and pick things up, and that's fine, but we have to do that within moderation. What happens is that our eating habits become poorer and poorer. So that could mean the amount of caloric intake. That could mean the type of foods that we eat. It also could mean when we eat, because a lot of times we're really busy. Sometimes we're working two jobs. We have other people to take care of, and we don't eat until really late at night, which is also not a good habit. Many times we may not eat but once a day, which is not a good habit. So again, eating habits are very important. If I'm a person that's feeling depressed or stressed or any of those things, and I start eating heavy meals, that is going to add to my feelings of depression or sadness or stress or whatever the case may be. If you think about it, even when you're having a really good day, let's say you're at a family reunion or you're taking time off, you're tailgating, because we're in the SEC region, so we're tailgating or doing any of those things. So we're in a really good mood. Let's think about it. In many instances, we will eat things like ribs, hamburgers, hot dogs. We're eating what's quick, and we're out there having a good time, and that's great. But when you think about it, that food kind of makes your energy level a little low. So let's put it in the perspective of, if I'm already stressed out or I'm depressed, or my energy level for whatever reason is just low, and I eat those foods that are heavy in caloric intake, then guess what? It's going to bring my energy level down lower. So here's one of the things that I recommend. I recommend, first of all, that you keep a food diary. You can find a food diary anywhere online. On this food diary, though, what you should have is the time. It should have the day, because you always want, what you want to do is have a food log or a food diary for about 2 weeks, so you can find out what type of habits you have. So you should have the day, the dates, the amount of food that you're eating, the type of food that you're eating, the time of day that you're eating, which is very important, as well as what mood you're in when you're eating these foods. Now, let me tell you why all of this is important. One of the reasons the mood is important to place on that, to have on that food diary or that food log, is because a lot of us are stress eaters and we don't know that we're stress eaters. And or maybe just emotional eaters. So that means if we get good news, we eat. If we have bad news, we eat. If we get stressed out, we eat. It just doesn't matter. That is going to be key, because if we determine, or if you determine, hey, I eat when I'm in this particular mood, then what you should do is be able to identify your triggers, go back and start identifying your triggers for that particular mood. And so what you should do is say, hey, you know what? I normally eat this way. Basically, you're going to plan. I normally eat this way when I get stressed out or when I start feeling like this. So what you would do is keep a snack with you, something like carrots or something that's healthy. So that's very important, to keep that food diary for at least 2 weeks and to make sure you have the mood on there. The other piece is the time of day. A lot of us, especially at work, we get really busy, and it's a certain time of day we have a tendency to eat certain foods. We may get busy if it's a vending machine in the facility where we're working, then we run and get not so healthy food. Again, you want to look at what you're doing, and you want to look at, hey, do I need to keep some healthy snacks in the desk? One of the things that I recommend people do is that you set your phone, because we use our phones for everything. So set your phone for the times of day that you need to eat. Talk to your physician, talk to a nutritionist, see what kind of diet is healthy for you. I always say that, always get everything checked out medically first. But once that is determined, then set your phone and say, hey, I need to eat 3 times a day, or maybe I need to eat 5 times a day. Maybe I need to eat X amount of meals and then a lot of snacks in between. Whatever you and a dietitian or nutritionist and your medical doctor come up with. Set the phone, then you outline what is it that you want to eat per day. Now, if we have a difficult time cooking, because a lot of times people are saying, I'm really busy, I don't have that type of time to cook. So, again, what I recommend is you pick one day out of the week, maybe, and you kind of do a meal preparation. So one of the things that you would do is say, hey, Sunday might be a good day for me, so let me cook at least for the next 3 or 4 days. And then what you want to do is prepackage those meals, so all you have to do is pull them out when you get ready to go to work, especially if you know the bulk of the time that you're eating unhealthy food is during your work hours. Another thing we want to look at is if you have junk food in the house and you're just like, well, I've paid for this, I don't want to get rid of it, I don't want to throw it out, put it somewhere where it's not facing you every day. Because the more accessible it is to you, even if you're not thinking about it, you're going to grab it out. So put it somewhere, maybe in a cabinet that's very high up or something of that nature, where you can't have access to it or it's not easily accessible to you and you don't see it all of the time, so it's not tempting you as much. Another piece you want to look at with your eating habits is don't go shopping, which is basic, and I'm sure most people know this, but don't go shopping when you're hungry because you start picking up everything. So what I would recommend, again, is you write out a list in terms of what you want to eat, what you need, but go shopping on a full stomach. Do not go to the grocery store and you are hungry because that is not going to work. I see you looking at me, Mr. Greg. That's the engineer. Did you have any questions for me before I move to the next topic?
These are, what's funny is that these are probably things that a lot of people have heard before, mm-hmm. but they don't think about it in the moment.
Right.
If they're hungry, they're going to go to the store,
right,
and buy too much.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. So please keep in mind when you're hungry, do not do that. The best way probably to do that is set up a set time during the week if you can to go shopping. Even if you have children, just set up a whiteboard and say, hey, this is the time. So this is the time I'm going shopping. And most people who have children, they try to work on the schedule as much as they possibly can. Anyway, even though it's difficult, you know, they try to do it. Also, it's a good way to teach your children healthier eating habits, too, as they're growing up. If they see you're changing your habits, then it's a good way for them to say, hey, you know, mom or dad eats healthy, so maybe I need to move forward with this as well. Another piece I wanted to jump into with the eating habits before we move forth with the exercise is also, all of us cannot afford organic food, and I clearly understand that. I also understand that a lot of times healthier foods are not, let's say this, they're not in every neighborhood. They're not in every neighborhood. So what I would say too is learn how to cook the foods that are available to you and that you can afford. We don't have to deep fry everything every day, or we don't have to put a lot of sugar in things. So I mean that even just coming from a Southern culture, and I'm from the South. Exercise is also very important. Physical exercise, I would say exercise at least 30 to 45 minutes 5 days per week. It increases your endorphins. It clears out your mind. It helps you control stress. It also will allow you, once your mind is cleared and you are relaxed, it helps you focus a great deal better, and you're much more relaxed when you have very important issues to hit you when you get home or when you get to work. You're not as stressed out and you're able to think about it in a much calmer and logical manner. And lastly, spiritual self. Remember, we talked about spirituality is where you get your energy from. Spirituality is where you get your energy from. So when you feel, so with self-care, when you feel yourself draining, remember I talked about draining those sources or that energy, drained of energy. Remember I talked about going back to where you get your energy source from. That could be prayer. That could be meditation. That could be mindfulness, like diaphragmatic breathing. Listening to music. It could be hiking. It could be exercising, but always know where you get your spiritual self from and your spiritual energy source from. Because of that, so look at these four areas. And again, if you need to find out where they are, I will list them on my website, www.meenterprises.net. That's meenterprises.net. Also, you can find them on the, you can find the show on the Old Fashioned Health Network in case you want to go back and listen to it. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Again, you've been listening to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell. And again, I hope this has really helped someone, and I wish you a happy and healthy week. Thank you and have a great day.
This has been the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Join us each Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. on WWE The Real 1100 AM. We look forward to growing with you.
Thank you for listening to another Old Fashioned Health Network show on The Real 1100.